T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, Emory Hunt, who's with CBS Sports. And Emory, thanks so much for joining us. You've been through it already. Man, I heard somebody say it. So, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on, man. Always a pleasure.
Emory, man, how long has it been since you've been at UL?
Oh, I graduated in 2003, so I'm an old head.
Man, okay. That was before. It was what, Southwest Louisiana back then? Or
it's funny you say that. When I got there, we were still Southwestern Louisiana, and then I want to say through my freshman year, we started to see the change to University of Louisiana. So I still hearken to the USL days, but I'm all the way University of Louisiana.
Yeah, Jake DeLome tells me all the time, Mike, you got to tell me what they're calling us now. Man, it's changed so many different times. It is what it is. Emory, your thoughts, I want to get you first of all on the Saints and what they've done in the offseason, and that, bringing in, I think, a big addition in Jarvis Landry, and now you got the speed guy in Olave. Hopefully the health issue with Michael Thomas clears up and that he's back. And same with Taysom Hill playing that flex tight end position. I think the big key, everybody puts it on Jameis. I think for me, it's offensive line play. You've spent way, way, way too much money to get above average play here. You got a first-round pick in Penning, a first-round pick in Ruiz. Eric McCoy was a second-round pick, but you traded up to get him. A first-round pick in Pete, a first-round pick in Ramchak. Come on, that's got to be the strength of your team when you have so many guys you spend a lot of capital on.
Yeah, you think about having James Hurst in the fold as well, kind of gives you a little bit of a cushion if Penning isn't ready to go, and you're hoping that he's ready to go. You're hoping that your scouting was on point like it was with Ryan Ramczyk, and he was able to step in and start right away and be a stud up front. And so with Penning up there, you hopefully have solidified the offensive line, and it really allows Jameis Winston to flourish like he did in spurts when we saw him play last year. With him at the starting quarterback position, we know the deep ball was back in effect for New Orleans. And now if the offensive line can stabilize there, I feel like that's going to be the case again. I worry more about the run game. We don't really know how much time Kamara is going to miss.
Yep.
Is not the same guy he was when he first got there, or even the guy he was in Baltimore. So there's a big question mark right now with the run game. But, man, you got to love what they can do throwing a football. And I think because of what they have at receiver, you can utilize the short passing game as a supplement to the run game until that run game gets back to where it should be.
Emory, I think that if you wanted a free agent back, you would have signed that guy by now. I think this is going to come to be some kind of trade. The Saints have some veteran back that they're going to trade for before training camp starts.
Or, and that's a great point, because you look at some teams that go four deep. Dallas has some depth at running back. Detroit has tremendous depth at running back. Seattle has depth at running back. Former UL Monroe running back Josh Johnson is out there as well. He's a fourth guy. He's a pretty good back. But I wouldn't even be surprised if they use Deontay Hardy in a run game, like we've seen, let's say, the USFL, Philadelphia Stars use Chris Rowland out of Tennessee State in the run game. He has some sort of running ability like that. He's a return specialist. You get him in that wide receiver run game. You can do some creative things to get the run game going to keep it on pace. But you're right. Maybe it's going to come from one of these teams that has, you know, an abundance of talent at the running back position.
Yeah, he's awfully small, though. He ain't going to take the beating at the running back position. Man, it's have had a hard time keeping him healthy, just him at receiver and returning kicks. So I don't think they'll use him at the running back spot. He's just awfully small, Emory. I mean, he's not a big guy at all. And so I think that you're going to see that deal. I think they're going to come up with a deal with the team. And you write about teams that have awful lot of depth at that running back spot. And so I think that's what ends up happening. Jeff Nowak has a question for you, Emory.
Hey, Emory. So, okay, kind of shifting course here. We're going to stop talking about the Saints for a second. But I know people in this market are going to be interested in what you have to say, because I know that you are a lot more bullish about the Falcons making an improvement this season than I think a lot of the national assessments would be. I just saw a ranking that put them number 32 in terms of the roster quality. They're at the bottom of all these power rankings. So why do you see them as such an improved roster this year where others might not have noticed?
A lot of people don't understand talent, to be completely frank and honest. And when you look at talent across the board, the Falcons have acquired a lot of talent. The biggest question for them whether or not this offensive line will come together and solidify. And they're really focusing on a couple of positions, right tackle, left guard, and there's a battle right now at center between Hennessy and Drew Dolman. But they're solid at left tackle with Jake Matthews. They have a really strong guard in Chris Lindstrom. But when you look at their skill positions, you bring in Bryan Edwards via trade, excellent receiver. Drake London was one of the top receiving prospects in the draft out of USC. Game is very similar to that of Mike Evans. You also look at Kyle Pitts, cross between a big X receiver or a tight end, so you have some versatility there with him. And they have tremendous depth in the backfield. We talked about that earlier. LG, I'm a big fan of whom they drafted. Cordero Patterson's a flex piece. Damian Williams gives you a veteran presence. And they move Avery Williams to running back from the cornerback position, who was one of the top returners coming out of college. And when you look at the defense, I mean, the back seven, Lorenzo Carter comes over from the New York Giants, athletic, long, gives you some presence up front as a run stuffer. Arnold Ebiketie drafted a pass rusher out of Penn State. Troy Anderson is someone that I am very high on. Tremendous athleticism. Can play anywhere across the second level. D'Angelo Malone, another pass rusher. And in the secondary, A.J. Terrell, Casey Hayward. Isaiah Oliver is an improving player, but I'm excited to see what they're going to get from this year from Darren Hall and also Richie Grant. So the Falcons on paper, and they just signed Eddie Goldman today, gives them some more depth up front at nose tackle. So for me, it's about, can all of these talented pieces come together? And if you're trying to envision how Arthur Smith wants to run his program, it's going to be run games, it's going to be play action pass, it's going to be quarterback run, and it's going to be a defense that's going to be active and aggressive. So I see this team competing for 6 or 7 wins. This is not a bad football team with a bad roster, in my opinion.
Okay, but so we're still talking 6 or 7 wins. I'm curious what your kind of read is on Marcus Mariota versus Desmond Ridder. Is Marcus Mariota going to be the guy leading that team, or is it kind of an open race there?
It's the Spider-Man meme between these two, because my comp for Desmond Ridder was Marcus Mariota. I feel like both guys are one and the same. But to me, I said this before. I said this all throughout the draft process. Desmond Ridder was the most pro-ready guy coming out. You have someone that has a lot of starts, played a lot of big games and big starts and big wins with Cincinnati. So I would feel comfortable going with Ridder if I'm Arthur Smith. But if Marcus Mariota can capture that spark he had at times with the Raiders and kind of harness that for a whole season, then they have a guy that he can start the whole season, doesn't have to push Ridder in there. But Ridder, to me, is more than capable of stepping in and playing professional football right now than any other rookie in his draft class.
Emory, funny you bring that up. I talked to two different people at the Manning Passing Academy, and both said, hey, Mike, Desmond Ridder by game 6 will be the starter for the Falcons. And the feeling is that Marcus, just the way he's built, you know, I covered him at Oregon with the Titans. You know, he's got a thin build. And he takes a lot of shots, you know, and he's one of these kind of bolt-type quarterbacks to me, okay? My main guy's not there. Second guy, I'm taking off running. Man, in this league, man, they could get out the shovel and pick you up. because, man, they're going after you at the quarterback position. And it's funny that kind of got brought up in the conversation, and two people significant made the comment. I think by game six, it's going to be Desmond Ridder. And they both said, hey, listen, I think he can handle it. He came to Manning a year ago. Man, he was a very poised young man. I got to spend some time with him. He threw a nice football. I think the shorter stuff gave him more trouble than the medium, longer range passes, at least from what I saw on film with him and also at Manning. Where he missed was the short stuff. But, man, he really thinks he's the guy. And I think he believes he's the guy. And I think because of Marietta's history of getting knocked around pretty good, I kind of have the feeling like you, and it's going to be Ridder. And it's going to be pretty quick in the mix here. And I think Arthur feels as though, hey, he's the future for us at quarterback.
And it was sort of frustrating throughout the whole draft process, especially on the draft, on draft day, when the Steelers made the pick of Kenny Pickett and gave the reasons why they chose Pickett. I'm like, well, wow, that sounds like Desmond Ridder, who is younger, a little bit more athletic, and has proven himself in bigger games, you know, more so than Kenny Pickett. So it all depends on whether or not, you know, they feel ready to go. And it kind of gives them the best of both worlds, because you have a guy in Ridder that can start right away, but you also have the luxury of having a veteran in Mariota that can step in and play if Ridder starts to sputter or struggle significantly, because you don't want to ruin his confidence if he struggles and pull him away. So I don't think they can go wrong at this position, because I do feel like the talent around these guys is way better than it was last season. There were significant questions about this receiving core going into the draft. Okay, when they drafted Drake London, like, all right, cool, they got one guy in. But then they made the play to get Edwards. You're like, okay, they are now stacked, in my opinion, at wide receiver. Kind of pushes everybody down to a more natural slot receiver in Zacchaeus. They have some other guys out there on the roster. So I think they've done a fantastic job.
Emory, I got a crazy friend of mine, and, man, listen, you figure out his age, man, real quick. I mean, he's an Oakland Raiders fan. Now he's a Las Vegas Raiders fan. And now he believes, hey, man, we got it now. Well, you know, Devontae Adams, you know, your thoughts on the Raiders, who, man, in another spot, man, you might really think about that. Because I like Derek Carr. I think he's a really good quarterback in this league. He's not a top five guy, but if you go 6 through 11, he's in that range of quarterbacks in the NFL. You add a Devontae Adams, man, and you got some other pieces there. Darren Waller, when he's healthy, he is a stud. Saints still trying to cover him from a couple years back. They threw the kitchen sink and couldn't cover him. I think I would like to see maybe some consistency more on defense. But your thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders in a spot where, man, Denver now with Russell Wilson, and you got the Chargers with Herbert, and you got the Chiefs with Mahomes, that, man, those games are going to be knocked down, drag out, almost like old AFL-type games from the 60s.
Yeah, and you can't really have a slip-up in conference or in division play if you're one of these teams. And it's funny, the Raiders are another team that's stacked with depth in the backfield. So you want to look out for the Raiders as another team that may want to move one of these backs. They got Josh Jacobs, and they drafted Zamir White too. So I find it fascinating for the Raiders. Offensively speaking, love with the pieces they have, but I'm with you. I worry about their defense. Their defense, to me, was an issue last year. They were a splash play type defense, so they'll make big plays here or there, but it wasn't consistent enough to be considered a really good defense. Can they get that consistency this season from this group? Can they stop the big play in the passing game? Can they minimize the long sustained drives offenses went on against this defense? Can they get off the field? If they can't do that in a division that now you have two of the top quarterbacks, two of the top five quarterbacks, I feel like, in Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, you know, you have to at least be able to stop them from scoring 30. If you can't even get to 27 because you can't get off the field, it's a problem. Now, they do have some uniqueness with the Chargers because they split last year, I believe, yep, and knocked them out of the playoffs. So, for me, the Raiders' defense really has to take that next step in order for them to get to that one or two spot in this division, because right now it's still KC and Denver salutes.
Your thoughts on Trevor Penning? I know you did some scouting perspective on him. I think if you started the season tomorrow, James Hurst is the starting left tackle for the Saints. But your thoughts on Trevor Penning and his potential and how it will work out with him? I think that's always an adjustment. Very few guys can just step in there at that tackle position, and it all comes together for him. Even Willie Rofe, as great as he was, Willie started on the right side the first year. Then they moved him to the left. But your scouting thoughts on Trevor Penning?
You know what's interesting about Penning is the fact that he is someone that, you know, he's not the most sudden or overly quick guy. And it shows when he's asked to make a block out in space. So it all depends on what type of offense he's going to run. You know, are they going to ask him to get out there on the move and go left or right? Because he's not as quick or sudden. And that's all he's going to face in the NFL with these defensive ends. But he does create a significant presence out there on the line of scrimmage. You know, he's coming off an excellent week at the Senior Bowl. He's got patience in his pass pro. So you want to see if that's something that's going to sustain itself. Because, yeah, he played in a very high-level FCS conference, in the Missouri Valley Conference. Some people may say that's the SEC of the FCS. But when you go down to the Senior Bowl and you watch him play, a lot of times it was talking about what he did after the whistle as opposed to, you know, snap to snap, rep to rep. So he's going to have to get acclimated to what he's going to see on a consistent basis. The good part for him and why I feel confident that he can do so is not like he's on a team that's devoid of pass rushers. So he's going to get a lot of great practice with the guys he's going up against.
Every practice. It's like, okay, Rook, you got one here. You got Grandison. Now you got Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport, Cam Jordan. Hey, he's going to say, man, I didn't see this at Northern Iowa. Nothing like this.
He's going to get a help, a heaping helping hand of pass rushers. You know, Tano Passio, I watched a lot of out there at Villanova. He's someone that has Sean Jones-like strength at the point of attack. So, yeah, he's going to get tested. And it's good that he landed in this spot because I think that helps expedite his learning curve.
You know, for a long time in the NFL, I felt like the wide receivers in their rookie season, it was kind of a ramp up more so than, okay, you're drafting a star. He's going to be the bona fide star right away. But in the last few years, that's changed.
Which 7-on-7. Emory will agree. I think 7-on-7 changed the world.
Right.
Because it gave you opportunity. The one thing with 7-on-7, you can practice the pitch and catch part of the game. So, man, you have all that summer, and you go. And now the way the colleges throw the football, man, it's not the 3-year. Because, you know, you heard that from coaches, GM.
Right.
Oh, it takes 3 years. Man, that's a bunch of horse hockey, 3 years for a player at wide receiver. Today, look what Jefferson, look what Chase, look what some of these guys have done. Emory, you've seen the change, and so much of it, the evolution starts with 7-on-7. I think that changed the college and pro football world more than anything over the last 15 years.
Oh, absolutely, because that's why you see so many, you know, pass-catching running backs coming out in the draft, too. Everyone, all the skill positions can't participate in 7-on-7. It's funny you guys bring that up because I was watching the old Michigan-Colorado game, the Hail Mary game with Cordell Stewart a few days ago. And, you know, they had a top-tier receiver in that game in Mercury Hayes. They had a top-tier receiver in the guy for Colorado. His name slipped my mind. But so you had these two big-time wide receivers, and both teams barely threw the football. And it was like, wow, that's just crazy to think that nowadays those guys would have gotten 20 targets each in this game. And so now – with the advent of the passing game, the way these colleges are using the hash mark, so you're basically getting one-on-one routes all the time. They're running versus air. The time on task that they're getting in the passing game is why you're seeing quarterbacks able to step in and play well, or at least not look shell-shocked stepping in as rookies. All of that is why you're starting to see receivers be able to shorten that curve of what used to be 3 years. So now, man, you better step in and play right away, and they are able to do so, which is also why I'm excited about Dajon Dixon out of Nichols stepping in into this rotation and finding a way to get in, because he's someone that has that talent, that has that ability, and has had so much time on task with the way Nichols throws the football around the yard.
Yeah, I'll because Nichols State's not far from my home, and so I always tease Rebo because he finally admitted it last week at Manning camp. He said, "Mike, I wish we'd have thrown it more to Dijon." I said, "Man, I told you that from day one," and he started to laugh about it. But I tell you, a guy that has really looked good in camp, and Jeff and I have watched it, Kirk Merritt, who was one of the most highly recruited players from Destrehan High School, right up the road from where I live, and he went to Oregon, then Texas A&M, JUCO College, Arkansas State, and had a shot with the Dolphins a little bit. But, man, Jeff and I can tell you, every day he would come up with a big catch. Every day. And Kurt's playing with some confidence now. And you'd think that that was the weak point of this team a year ago at wide receiver. Now you got people like Dijon and Kirk, battling to try to make the 53-man roster. They would have made it a year ago. But now it could well be a more of a practice squad type situation. But Dijon, man, he's such a big receiver. And, he can use that size to go up for so many contested catches. And we see, Emory, so much of that today. You going up against a defensive back one-on-one, okay? You got to make the catch. And Dijon, they normally had a couple people around him when he went up to make the catch. I do think that that's a big part of the game and why you see a lot of teams now spending a lot more time on the bigger receivers. Like the kid from USC, he's no speedster. You throw a jump ball up, no 5'10" cornerback's going to knock that ball away from him. You know, come on. That he's got the big advantage there.
Yeah, and Kirk Merritt is someone I was very high on coming out of Arkansas State because of his explosive athleticism. I want to say he had a 42-inch vertical jump. He ran 4.3. He's a physically built guy. He's built like Jarvis Landry. So he's another one that they could find creative ways. You don't have to get him deep down the field. You just find one of these little quick hitch stop routes and get him the football and let him do his thing. So, again, the Saints are in a really good spot with their receiving core. Tight end is another question, I feel like. But Juwan Johnson is someone I feel like has a good rapport with Jameis Winston. Maybe Adam Trautman can finally realize his potential. Big fan of what he was able to do at Dayton. But I wonder about that position, but I think they have some options. But with the way they built their depth at receiver, Kawan Baker, I feel like a lot out of South Alabama. He's another one that can touch the football in a multitude of ways. So they should be fine from a skill position perspective. It's about left tackle. You know, can they find the run game if however many games Kamara misses? And if so, this offense shouldn't miss a beat because they are virtually – still intact from a coaching perspective and a scheme perspective with Pete Carmichael.
Yeah, and they've used Kurt also as a running back. I saw him play a lot of that at Destrehan too, man. And he's got some speed out there. Emory, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
So I appreciate you guys having me on. Always a pleasure.
All righty. Emory Hunt from CBS Sports. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.